Wyman, who is the Natural Resources Team Coordinator at the Cornell Cooperative Extension of Greene County, who is leading a class this weekend on, well, an insect festival.
Right.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, how are you, Richard?
Very well, thank you, and thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, I was glad to join you.
So you told me earlier that you're going to talk about all kinds of insects.
Yes, you know, we found that a lot of people have different appreciations or lack of appreciations of insects, and we thought this would be a great opportunity to have families come out and learn about all different kinds of insects. They'll learn about beneficial insects like honeybees, and they'll learn about monarch butterflies. We'll be looking for monarch larvae on the milkweed, which is their favorite food.
Oh.
And you know, we'll learn about, there'll be different stations for families to go and learn about these different types of insects by the pond. We'll have nets so that people can try to catch dragonflies and see what kind of insects are living in the ponds. So we're just hoping people come and enjoy walking through the forest. There's going to be an insect safari, so kids can pick up a card and then see how many insects they can find as they explore the forest. And so we'll have different stations so people can explain what these different insects are all about and how important they are.
Now, there's one thing here that says, learn about wasp watching. And
yes.
I keep wondering, what are wasps good for? What do they contribute?
Well, wasps are very important. I mean, often we see them, you know, in places that we don't want them. But this particular project is very important because it actually relates to one of those bad insects, and that's the emerald ash borer that is now in our backyard. And there's a project that was developed that uses teams of youth to go out and look for a particular kind of wasp that is a predator on the emerald ash borer. And so we've had youth throughout this region looking for this particular wasp. It likes a very sandy soil, sandy habitat. So believe it or not, a lot of places that they're looking for this wasp is on baseball fields. Because a lot of times when you have a baseball field constructed, you know, you put certain kinds of soil down or material
right,
down.
Sand around the
some
baseline.
Of that is really what this wasp prefers. And so what the kids are doing is they're finding where this particular wasp exists, and then they're actually watching it, and they're seeing what kind of prey they bring back to the nest and seeing whether or not it's some of the emerald ash borer. So it's like an early detection method. And it's also a great way for kids to get out and learn, you know, how to do some detective work, finding these wasps.
So, hi Marilyn, it's Anne Forbes Cooper here, the co-host. How prevalent are ash borers up here in this neck of the woods?
Well, they were discovered pretty extensively down in Ulster County in the Saugerties region. We do have them in the southern boundary of Greene County. They were recently discovered down in West Point, and so there's been a lot of effort put out to really monitor where they actually are. In fact, in Greene County, where they were discovered, and in this whole region, there's a regional organization called the Catskill Regional Invasive Species Partnership, of which Cooperative Extension is one of the members, and they've been trying to be proactive and going to communities throughout the region and hosting inventories of ash trees in each of those communities. And I know Catskill went through that process and discovered that they had, I think, maybe a couple of dozen ash trees. And the issue with those ash trees is that ash, when it does start to die, the branches will become brittle and fall off. And so they become a liability. And back when we lost our elm trees, the ash became a preferable street tree in many communities. And now, unfortunately, it turns out that there's something that, you know, is threatening all our ash trees.
And where have they come from?
The ash, the emerald ash borer?
Right.
It came from Asia. It was discovered out in Michigan. Probably came in the ballast or in packing material, which is the way a lot of these invasive pests are introduced. And we're, you know, we have a global market, and you can't track every single item that comes into this country, but they were introduced that way, and I believe it was in 2002, and it's taken a while for it to actually get over to this part of the country. And we actually, we had a workshop here at Cooperative Extension last April, and talked about, we had someone from Cornell come and talk about Emerald Ash Borer, and he said, well, we probably, you know, we should prepare for it, but he didn't anticipate it getting here much before, maybe the next 5 years. And then in July, we were announced that we actually had it within the county. So I think a lot of organizations and municipalities are just, they're trying to work together to find out where it actually is and slow the spread so we can sort of get a better handle on how we can, you know, deal with the impact safely.
And what other kinds of invasive bugs are we worried about now?
Well, the one that I think we've hopefully got under control, at least in New York State, is the Asian longhorn beetle. That would be particularly devastating because it likes hardwoods, but in particular, it likes sugar maples. And so there's been a huge effort to try to contain that. It was discovered down in the New York City metropolitan. Actually, never got out of New York City. I know some of it went into New Jersey, but they've been able to contain it fairly successfully. But I believe it's been discovered in Connecticut recently, and there was a fairly large infestation in Worcester, Massachusetts, and also those were the mode of introduction was through packing material, wood material, and up in Worcester, I believe it was shipping that came into the port of Boston, and they took it to Worcester where they actually opened up these crates and. And that infestation probably had been around for many years, and was I'm not sure they've actually contained it. You know, they have a huge quarantine area, so one of the issues is just trying to make sure that they can contain that because, you know, that would be. You know, we have a number of pests that are impacting our forests, but this one in particular would be devastating. But, you know, there's hemlock woolly adelgid that's impacting our hemlock trees. That's also an introduced species. Mm-hmm. We have a beech bark blister disease that's impacting our beech trees. And so, you know, we really have to hopefully educate people so they can recognize these insect pests and be really proactive and help us, you know, try to manage them as best as we can.
And we know that for a while honeybees were in trouble. Where are they today? Have they recovered?
Have they recovered? I think that I know there was like the bee die-off, the hive die-off. I think that there's still research trying to determine what exactly was the cause of that particular you know, impact on most commercial hives in particular, but. You know, I think right now, in addition to the die-off, I don't think we've had a lot of problems with die-off in the region, but there's always, you know, these bees are not native bees, and so there's always the, you know, the risk or the tendency to have these bees not be able to acclimate to our region and have them more vulnerable to different, you know, pests and diseases. I know mites are always an issue with honeybees, people that have hives, you know, have a hard time trying to keep different kinds of mites from infesting their hives. But I think right now, you know, it seems to be at least for the beekeeper, we have the Catskill Mountain beekeepers who meet here on a monthly basis, and they have a phenomenal following. If people are interested in bees and beekeeping, the Catskill Mountain beekeepers are just, they're amazing because they have a huge number of people that are their members, and they have these great programs where they have speakers come in and talk about these different issues that surround bees. But I think a lot of people got involved in beekeeping because they thought that there was some issues, and they're so beneficial. They're so crucial as far as pollination is concerned.
Is it a good idea to have a beehive in your backyard?
Absolutely. Well, we've had, my husband and I have had beehives, but you know, somehow we haven't been successful in bringing them through the winter because they are pretty vulnerable to different weather conditions, and you have to make sure you know exactly what you're doing. But we always buy another hive in the spring and reintroduce it.
Do you make honey, Marilyn?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Mm. But you have to make sure that you allow them to make enough honey, at least in the first year, so they can overwinter. And then usually the second year they produce enough so that you can take it for your own
good
use.
Good point, good point.
Yeah.
One quick question.
Sure.
Ants. I recently had an invasion of ants in my house. Are ants good for anything at all?
Well, you know, they are a very interesting social creature. But if you have things like carpenter ants, it's usually, it's a indication that there's some kind of infestation, and the water seems to make them migrate. So if you have, if you have large black ants, it might be a sign that you need to maybe check the foundation, see if there's some leaks or there's some water damage of some of the wood, because this is the time that they're going to be migrating.
And what about the stink bug threat?
Yes, the brown marmorated stink bug is something that, it's come up from the south, and it was in New Jersey, and now there's a lot of preparation for it coming up the Hudson Valley because it will impact a lot of the fruit trees. And so we'll have some information about the brown marmorated stink bug for people on Saturday as well. But not to make people think that there's only, bad insects or insects that we have to be concerned about. There's a lot of insects that we really do depend on. And so, people will learn, as far as their gardens are concerned, there's, garden pests, but there's also beneficial insects that people should know about. Sometimes people, as soon as they see something crawling or flying, they immediately want to whack it. And sometimes you're probably killing something that could be a predator on something that's really an issue. So we'll try to help them learn a little bit more about what the good bugs are as well as the bad bugs.
What other good bugs are there?
Well, you have, let's see, ladybugs, lady beetles. They're really good as insect predators in gardens. You have praying mantises. They're really good in taking care of, negative or potentially damaging insects. Then there's insects such as the monarch butterfly or dragonflies, which people like just because they're beautiful to look at, and there's whole ranges of varieties, and they can keep some of the mosquitoes and other what we consider to be nuisance bugs, they're predators on certain bugs when they're in their larval stage in particular.
Now these monarch larvae are around about this time now?
Yeah, they've been emerging. A lot of times what they'll do is, and they live solely on milkweed. And you can find these beautiful black and yellow and white striped caterpillars on the milkweed plant. And then what's really fun is once you've found one of these monarch caterpillars, you can put them, you can watch them on the milkweed plant when you find it. And if you want, what we've done in the past is actually taken milkweed plants and put them in a jar and fed the monarch larvae and watched it actually get to the point where it metamorphoses into a chrysalis and then emerges into a butterfly.
Wow. Now, do they feed on the pods?
No, they feed on the leaf. Hmm. Yep. They munch the leaf up, and they're really voracious eaters. It's amazing how quickly they grow. If you have them in the jar, you can really see a lot of evidence on the bottom of the jar what good eaters they are.
Well, we have another call coming in soon, Marilyn. Is there anything else you'd like to tell people?
No, but just want to, invite people to join us on Saturday from 1 to 4 at the Agroforestry Research Center. There'll be lots of information and learning stations out in the Sayusa Model Forest. So if people want to bring their children and learn a little bit more about, how insects, the role they play in people's lives and just have fun, then we look forward to seeing them there.
And you are where exactly, Marilyn?
We're on Route 23, right between, if you were coming up Route 23 going towards Wyndham, we're between Cairo and Wyndham, right past sometimes Lang's. There's a Lang's Hotel that's a landmark. But if people need to call and they need information about us, they can reach us at 9820, and we can give them information on how to get there, and if they have more questions about the insect festivals, we can help them there too.
Thank you very much for your
call. All right.
Thank you, Marlon. That was great.